All righty, now I am now recording.
Ready when you are.
Cool. I think let's do, if I may suggest, maybe you should lead the, you should basically introduce the question because it is your question and put whatever background, obviously, you wanna put into it. And then the reason why I wanted us to do it this way is because this week I was talking about what I call the partnership thinking plan. I would like us to kind of go through this process to see what insights we get and how it leads us basically to the next step with regards to your question. Of course, I've got my own ideas on how best to handle that question, but I think I like the fact that there's a process that we can follow, which I think can help other people as well.
Okay. Sorry, I just have to find the message that I sent to you so I can read the question to you.
Alrighty.
My apologies.
And if we don't find it, you'll just awesome. Speak from the heart and tell the story.
Okay.
So, okay. But yeah, I'm sure you'll find
it. I've got it. Okay.
Cool.
So are you recording already or?
I am recording, yes.
Oh, okay. Then I think the question that I sent to you was, hi, I hope you're doing well. I just finished listening to week one, which articulated information which I've known while also addressing questions that I've had. So thank you very much. As it happens, I had already embarked on my partnership, though I hadn't thought of it in the context of this program. I'm trying to get interns from top-tier US universities to do 4 to 6 week internships with African startups. These are credible entities that have already attracted financing from international organizations and investors. And it occurred to me that they could benefit from a short, focused engagement with tech and MBA graduate students, because all of these are actually tech entities. The students themselves have struggled to secure internships this year. Many of them have actually been canceled because of COVID. So from my perspective, this would be a mutually beneficial agreement. It would also be a feather in the students' cap to have done work that benefits developing countries. And it might well expose them to markets that they haven't really looked at before. My question is that I sense that I've phrased my ask as more of an ask for us, i.e. something that would be more beneficial for ask, rather than a win-win for all parties. How do I recover from that in the follow-up engagements? Essentially, I'm just trying to figure out how I can pivot from my hasty outreach.
Sure.
Yeah.
Cool. All righty. Okay. So let's take this through. Do you have your notes from this week's lesson?
Yes, I do. I actually had, you know, started to draft an email trying to follow, I think, the guidance that you gave in your email.
Sure.
Sorry, in your lesson, because I thought that was... So even before we had the chat yesterday, I had drafted an email. And then I was like, oh, then, you know, if I will have a chance to actually speak with you and have your guidance, then don't just wait.
Cool. So is that something you would like us to talk about after this question, before we hang up today?
Well, I assumed that the email would be part of the answer, but yes, definitely, I would like us to talk about it sometime during the course of today's conversation.
Okay, cool. It's possible that we may have your questions answered while we tackle this one question, but if not, we can definitely look into that email after this. So on page 10 of the 12 pages, where I'm introducing the partnership thinking plan. So the first thing there is the goal. What is your goal? What are you trying to accomplish? Based on what you've said, obviously, you may have something, you may have a deeper goal than what I will, because I'll only base on the information that you send via email. I would say the goal is to, I don't want to say to bring these interns to Africa, but I would guess the goal, because with gold you have to be really honest, you know, what is your goal? It's almost like nobody else will see this. It's just you. So be brutally honest about your goal. What do you want? You know, if the goal, let's say, is to help African startups, you know, benefit from these MBA and graduate students, then you say that. But if it's about getting those students to come here and for whatever reason that is your goal, then we say that's the goal. So what would you say in your case is that main driving factor for you to want to do this?
It's exactly what I described just when I was reading the message. It's basically to, okay, so I'm driven, I guess, by the fact that I recognize that African startups could benefit from, you know, engagement with students, engagement, input, guidance from students, particularly, you know, people who are middle of their MBA programs, assuming we're talking about the American program, which is a 2-year program. And in the middle of that program, they have their summer break, which is like a 3-month break, and they usually do internships. And a lot of them actually already go into the MBA having, you know, a decent amount of work experience. They'll have a couple of years of work experience with American corporates. And then they go into the program. They have this, you know, wild array of classes and so forth. It's very, you know, intense and so forth. And I'm like, wow, some of them actually didn't manage to secure internships this summer, which was, you know, it's just like it's never happened. Like literally, there's so much about COVID that has just never happened, but it's just never happened. They didn't secure internships. And some universities actually require internship credits as part of the as part of, I guess, the requirements to actually graduate. I'm going to assume that they would probably waive those requirements in this instance because of COVID, but if you give them the opportunity to say, well, hey, you could actually do this internship. You don't have to travel because we are not in a position to pay air tickets or anything of that nature. You don't have to travel, but the beauty is that this is a tech startup. The input that they need from you is tech related. So you can do it from home without having to incur any expense. It is a cost to you because, you know, you're essentially downloading your brain matter and helping this startup or these startups to figure their way out of a couple of situations. So you're benefiting, yes, because you know you get the re required experience. The startup benefits because it gets, you know, good exposure to, you know, world class, because some of the places I've reached out to, I've reached out to Harvard, Stanford. So we're talking about world class institutions, and it's an amazing opportunity for the students. I think if this is something that they look at and they recognize the value, then it becomes an amazing opportunity for the students, but also for the startups. So for me, it's a win-win. And honestly, there's no other desire for me, other than that, to use your word.
Sure. Cool. Wow, this is actually quite an exciting thing that you're doing here. And I'm glad because you answered some of the questions. Because as you're talking, in fact, when I was reading your email, obviously I had all these questions, and as you were talking, I was just also just jotting them down to make sure that I don't forget. For instance, one of the questions that I had when we say African startups, one of the questions was where exactly in Africa? But then there were other questions such as travel costs, you know, and related, you know, things. But I think you've already, like I said, you've answered that. There'll be no travel, if I understood you correctly.
That's
You know,
correct.
all of this can be done virtually. And I think even the question of where kind of becomes less relevant, but you may still want to confine it within a certain region where you've got reach, or within a certain country, or could be the whole continent. So what would you say on that question of where exactly, when we say Africa, where are the startups?
Okay, so I've got two firm expressions of interest, one from Uganda, one from Kenya, and a potential interest as well from Nigeria. So I'm not sure how, you know, how much awareness you have of the tech space, but Kenya and Nigeria are actually the tech hubs of Africa. They actually are ahead of South Africa in terms of the tech space innovation and so forth. So I do think that South Africa does tend to still attract a lot of interest.
Sure.
But I've got relationships, have done some work with, advised, and I'm still doing so, a couple of startups in those countries. I tend to like to work with startups, you know, that are at pre-seed stage. So one of them, I literally started with them at pre-seed stage, and now they're at, I think, Series A, which is nice. It's nice to see that happening. But my dream is to do a lot more of that, where you just work with African entrepreneurs, where you look, you see potential, and they just need a little bit of a push here and there to make it to the next stage, to the next level.
Cool. Wow. I like this, and I can see, I mean, I don't know what the long-term vision is, but I can, like, this proposition that you have for the universities, I can see how this could be like a long-term thing, because as the years roll on, there'll always be a need of that kind of collaboration. So even post COVID, when these issues that the students face this year, when these issues are not even there, let's say in the future, but I think the benefit of this collaboration would remain for both sides. At least that's my perception based on just what you've told me. Okay, cool. So
thank you, Ash. I actually agree with you, because as I was thinking through and writing it through, I was like, oh, this is probably not going to be a 1-year program if the other side sees the benefit. Because they'll be like, oh, we can always send students through. And at some point it might actually expand to a point where we're in a position to pay them. We're not there yet, but, you know, hopefully sooner rather than later. But you're right. Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. So I think the goal, is clear. I think we've unpacked that, what it is you want to accomplish with this. And then when it comes to resources, which is the second thing, what resources do you need to accomplish your goal that a partner can help you with? Obviously, the obvious resource right now is the students, their time, their intellectual capital that they would bring to this partnership. Is there anything else you would want to add on the resources?
Well, I think it's also related to resources, but the students would need to have access, I guess, to IT, to information technology, because I know that for at least one of the startups, they would like a student to do some data mining, do heat maps to just get a better sense of what opportunities exist, you know, when, as they're thinking longer term, how they can grow. They would like to work with a student on figuring that out. So I'm assuming, but we have on our end our own tech, but the student as well would need to have, I think, a relatively well-developed, not just mastery of the technology, but also access to certain apps and such like to be able to deliver on the ask from our end.
I see. All right. Which are resources that can be part of the agreement when they say we like the idea? What would you specifically? What would you like our students to do? Then these types of resources would be outlined there, so that they select the most qualified student for this type of work. And student, of course, we have got, you know, access, as you say, to the right software and other pieces of technology. All right, cool. I think on the, is there anything else on the resources side?
Not from my perspective, no.
All right, cool. Then let's go to number the third one, partner. Who would be an ideal partner and why? I think we know who the partner is based on the information you've provided. We would like these top US universities to be our partner. I think they are the, what you would call the first partner, because we, because these are the people, I assume that, as if I understood you correctly, at least, these are the people, you are reaching out to universities directly for this ask, correct?
Yes.
Okay, cool. And why US?
Because the US is unique, at least in, you know, Western universities. It's unique in that it has a 2-year master's program. Mm-hmm. When you go to Europe, their master's programs are only 1 year. They, I think, do everything in about 11 months thereabouts, whereas the US actually has that summer break. So there's that period during which the students have actually already been exposed to some of the MBA training, and then they need to go out there and actually do an internship, and then they go back. Whereas if you're going with a European university, you're going to, I think, have to juggle the time, the availability, because during those 11 months, it's just 11 months that are really, really intense. I'm not sure what the situation is like here in South Africa, because it did occur to me that, you know, one could reach out to Wits, UCT, and Gibbs as well. But I think also because I do actually have relationships with American universities, it was easier for me to be like, okay. And it was an easier sell to the entrepreneurs over here, or the African entrepreneurs, because they actually have, I think one went to Wharton, another one went to a Dutch university. I'm not sure which one, but he went to one in the Netherlands. And a third one went to another American university. So it was just easier to say, look, let's try and get the scale from over there. And also because I suspect that they have a need now. The students overseas have a need now to do the internship. On a different year, I just would never have even thought of it. But now I'm like, okay, somebody got the internship canceled and they need the experience. Let's see who they are and if we can make this work.
Cool. All right. It's interesting because as you're talking and I'm writing down some of the things you're saying, I'm writing benefit. Like I'm seeing a long list of benefits for our potential partners in this regard. For instance, the fact that even under normal circumstances, the fact that they've got a 2-year master's program and they have that summer break, which they use for internships, that in itself is actually something that can be packaged as a benefit for them, that you've got this unique opportunity as American universities to expose, for instance, your students to the, you know, to the bigger world, for them to see how other, you know, tech ecosystems, you know, operate outside of just, you know, Silicon Valley and other parts of the US. So even things like that, they become actual benefits because they get this international, you know, they get to literally look outside of the United States to see what the broader world is doing, you know, which could be a benefit, you know, depending on what attitude they take when they, you know, step outside their own borders intellectually.
Well, so the challenge is that actually most American MBA programs, they do have some kind of a study abroad, you know, year abroad or summer internship abroad. The only reason it's not happening this year is because with COVID, there is no travel. And China, I think in particular, had become a favorite destination. But my reading is that there are actually a lot of companies, as well as Western countries, but a lot of companies that are now trying to figure out how they can circumvent China in their supply chain, because I guess there's just a lot of, you know, discomfort with COVID and the sense that
and
China,
the relationship between the US and China, that alone is something that I'm sure makes a lot of people uncomfortable within the US, which kind of supports the very point that even without COVID, the fact that, because we could say, you know, they do have a study abroad as part of their program, but yeah, we are specifically inviting them to a whole other environment that they probably were not even looking at before, which also is a benefit in the sense that it gives them an alternative to China. So in that sense, it still remains a great benefit, I would think.
Yeah, that's definitely a fair point, and I appreciate that. My sense is that it's a benefit that actually has to be sold, because, so I actually did my graduate studies in the US and maintained a relationship with the university, you know, years after, and, you know, would go to talks and stuff like that, that were given by various people. And I know that, I think it was like about 5 years ago before I moved back to the continent, mm-hmm. I know that the dean of the Georgetown University Graduate School of Business talked very disparagingly about Africa.
Sure.
It was just kind of like, you know, just, yeah, well, there's nothing happening there. That's of interest. Literally, he just talked about Latin America. And, you know, his surname was like a Spanish surname, but he talked about Latin America, Asia, Europe, and America. I'm like, hey, show me, there's a whole continent there that you've just missed out on. You know, looking at the other side, it was like, okay, fine, I guess right now Africa has not really been as well positioned as a potential destination, whether for investors or, you know, businesses looking to grow themselves and so forth. It's actually right now, you know, again, with COVID, I was reading something, where did I see this? Where someone said that COVID actually has proved, oh yeah, the IMF. The IMF said something about COVID has actually created an opportunity for African businesses to insert themselves in Western supply chains and quite possibly displace China. It's a slim opportunity, but it is a real opportunity, and it's something that we should try to chase after.
Wow. Sorry, what was the source of that?
The IMF.
The IMF, wow.
I think they did like an Africa report or something. I'm embarrassed to say that I saw the summary. I didn't actually read the whole report because, you know, yeah, IMF anyway, yeah. If you ever try to read an IMF report, you will sympathize. You'll sympathize. You'll empathize.
I probably wouldn't.
Exactly. But what I did was I just, you know, I skimmed through the highlights and I was like, okay, so these are the takeaways, basically, from, you know, from the report. And I was like, to me, it was interesting that the IMF would say that, of course, it is in their interest also to promote development in Africa and promote other destinations for investment and so forth. But the next question for me was, okay, how do we make this happen?
And what did you say?
Well, my little contribution right here, right now, if I can get this program off the ground, and I can actually get interest in it, I will tap into my IFC networks. And also, I have a friend who works at Harvard. I have a cousin who teaches at Stanford, or she's an adjunct at Stanford. And I'd love to just reach out to them and say, can we, like, I've already reached out to them about doing it this year. If we do get it off the ground, then I'd like to, you know, maybe not even through them at that point, because I'd have some kind of relationship with the internship or the career office. But to just say to them, look, can we just do a 1 year, every year, 1 month or 6 week internship It's African startups, so we're not really flush with cash, at least not cash that you'd be interested in. But in terms of the exposure to an entirely different part of the world and potentially an up-and-coming region of the world, it would be invaluable for your students. And then see what they have to say.
Cool. I like what you just said, by the way. This last like minute, the stuff that you just said, because you said it the way I think when somebody reads that in an email, because it kind of answers a number of questions. Oh, Africa, we didn't even know they had this. This sounds interesting, you know, because what we really want here is to get a reply. In fact, what I wanted to ask you when you were talking was, has the person responded, or the people rather, have they responded to your first email? Have you heard anything from them?
Yeah, one called to say she had forwarded it to, she didn't know exactly where to send it, but she sent it to somebody that she believes does know. And she'll get back to me as soon as she hears from them. The other person has not called back, hasn't responded as yet, but we'll be talking tomorrow anyway. So we have a regular call tomorrow, so I'll check in with her there.
Oh, these are people that you actually know personally
Harvard and Stanford, yes.
Okay, cool.
The third place I reached out to is Georgetown, because I went there and I was like, okay, I don't know anyone there, but I am alumni. And essentially, I'm positioning this as alumni trying to create employment opportunities for their students, which is one of the responsibilities that we have. So,
I hear you. This is really exciting. Okay, so let's continue. Let's continue with our process.
Yes, sir.
And then the fourth one, research. What is the context of your approach? Have you done your research? Do you have the right contact person? I think some of these, we kind of answered them already. I think the context is really what we've been talking about. Pretty much why we're doing this. Where is all this coming from? And what are the circumstances right now that are surrounding this proposal, and what triggered this? I think all of those things, we've been talking about these since the beginning of the call. The fact that, like you said, had it not been for COVID, for instance, we would not be even having this conversation. You wouldn't have made this approach. And I think that alone, if we just look at that, it also highlights why this is really not an ask per se, which was the reason why you wanted us to have this call. Because what triggered this was yes, you wanted to help startups, but what triggers this was the opportunity that came as a result of COVID, which kind of prejudiced those students. So more than anything, if we really dig deep into why this and why now, it is because of the disadvantage that those students are finding themselves in as a result of what happened. So it's actually, the reason I'm bringing this up is because that's another benefit, that this thing is really, there's a huge benefit for them, maybe equally, if not more than, our startups. Of course, I mean, maybe equally, let me not say if not more, let me just say equally, because our startups will definitely benefit from what those guys can bring. So the whole thing about context, I think it's very clear why we are doing this. And then the part about research, when you were reading that excerpt from the IMF report, or when you were just talking about it, that is part of it. The fact that, Africa has this unique opportunity right now. There's kind of this window of opportunity that, and I think it was in our conversation last week. I don't know who I was talking about. I think it was our conversation, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, where you were saying, where you were saying, we got downgraded in March by these ratings agencies, And immediately after that, everybody else's economy kind of went straight to the dogs, which kind of threw them in the same junk pot, right?
Indeed, yes.
Yes. And I think there are many other, especially the places that, particularly Kenya, I haven't really been following, not that I'm following Kenya's tax space a lot, but I'm kind of familiar with some of the things that are going on there compared to, let's say, Nigeria, even compared to even what's happening in Cape Town, which is most what's happening in South Africa. But there's so much in terms of the things that have already been created out of Kenya that have been game changers. So in terms of laying context, I was thinking about the professor from Georgetown who spoke disparagingly about Africa. People like that who probably need to be brought to the 21st century of, you know, in terms of what's really happening in Africa. There are already real examples of other, you know, teams that have produced great products, great applications that have, you know, that could hold their own anywhere in the world. So when I think research in this context, I think this may not feature in the letter that you, in the email that you send, but it would help to have kind of that kind of background at hand when you're having these conversations with somebody. Let's say somebody follows up on a call and then you say, let me give you a picture of what's happening here. Because a lot of times people don't really know what's happening in Africa. They come with their own, you know, whatever they saw on TV or read somewhere about Africa. So I think it would be helpful to have that information about what are some of the things that are coming out of these ecosystems, just to lay that background foundation. So that when I think research, that's what I'm thinking. I'm also thinking about what you said earlier about IMF in Africa. Something like that depending on the type of, on how long the email I'm writing, if I feel that I really have to convince this person on the first email, I may even include that as a quote
that's a very good point.
Yeah, so I would include that as a quote within that email, you know, because what that does, it's almost like this is what other people who are in a position of authority, who are well placed to know these things, because that's what they do. They're looking around the world and they've got an eye in every country. They know what's going on. So if that's what they are saying, it kind of lends a certain credence to say maybe we should look at this place, you know, because you're not asking them to agree. Stage, you just want them to engage. The first email is really about, hey, can we talk about this?
No, I actually have to say thank you so much for that, because I think probably the most famous game changer coming out of Kenya is in the digital payment space, and that is Safaricom. Mm-hmm. And the entity out of Kenya, the Kenyan startup that I'm working with, actually has a business relationship with Safaricom. But also in a former colleague of mine actually he was one of the very first employees of Safaricom. So right at the very beginning of the digital payment systems, he knows everything backwards, basically. And he's somebody I talk to quite regularly just to tap into his brain on what he thinks and stuff. But I think the point that you make, that it would be good to make sure I'm very well versed on where Kenya is in that space now, so I can actually sell that. I also have regular conversations with, a tech fund out of Nigeria. And, you know, I think they were the ones through whom I firstly became exposed to tech in Africa, because I was always talking to them, which is funny because Kenya was way ahead of. But I had a relationship with the Nigerian team before I connected with Nigerian, with the Kenyan people.
I see.
But I think basically what I really appreciate this. Wow, this is totally, actually the reason I signed up for your program was to have help in figuring out, okay, step by step, how do I go from A to Z?
Sure.
And this is probably helpful. Thank you. Thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Cool. So that's that on the research side. Do you have the right contact person? I think we've answered that. You've got people, at least there are people you know well, and also there are people you can have access to in other universities where you want to reach out. So I think the answer there is yes, we've got the right people. And then approach. So how do we go about this? Now that we've got these bits and pieces of raw data to work with. So here it says, I'm just literally just reading from my screen, decide on the best medium of contact, have contact details at hand. You will use these to reach out when ready, be prepared to engage on other communication media. I think here it's really a case of what will be the best way to reach these people. Do we call them? Do we email them? Do we stalk them on LinkedIn? What do we do? I think in this case, we email. I think that's your medium of choice, correct?
Okay. Yeah, I think email is best.
I think so too. So email, and then when the part where I'm saying be prepared to engage on other, if they respond, like now we spoke earlier about how this person will call you. So beyond email, there may have to be a conversation, basically, you know, which is likely to be telephonic. Okay, let's talk about this. Tell me more, all of that stuff. So I'm just saying it's important to, which kind of comes back to the point we just made about having all the necessary info at hand. Because when you've got that audience, when you've got the opportunity to talk to somebody, you don't want to be saying, I need to do a bit more research. You really just want to have your ducks lined up, you want to have your facts, you know, so that they are right in front of you or they are just top of mind, because you've got an opportunity, you've got all the senses engaged, you know, except of course the sense of smell because it's over the phone, but and sense of touch, but all the key senses, you know, they can hear your voice, they can hear your tonality. In some cases, if the video call, they can see you, you know, all of these things. So you've got their attention. You know, so it becomes a golden opportunity to really get them, I'll say excited, but let me explain why I'm saying that, because the right word may not be excited. So whenever I'm going to have a conversation with somebody, let's say a potential partner, I decide on the emotion before the call. I ask myself, what do I want them to feel during the call, and what do I want them to feel after the call? So I really, you know, think about that. What feelings do I want them to have as we are talking? What feelings do I want them to have after the call? So that also kind of influences how I approach the call. So, and really, I wish I could say there's this, you know, elaborate work that I do to get that. I just become conscious of it, you know. I just become conscious of it and I just make sure I'm in that space emotionally. You know, if I want them to, obviously being positive is definitely part of it. So I always bring the positive energy into the conversation. If I think this is something that could be exciting, you know, and I really can't help myself if it's an exciting thing, then I show up excited. Maybe not too, you know, not overly excited, but you know, positive and just high energy, you know. And then I also decide what else I want them to feel. So in the context of your discussions with these people, I would say think about what you want them to feel, you know, a sense of, you know, discovery could be one of the things. Like, wow, because some of them may really not know much about Africa. There may be that sense of, wow, really? I just learned something new today. You know, so when people are in that state, it tends to kind of open them up to that space of curiosity as well. I wonder what else is there, you know, maybe this is something we need to explore. And because you were thinking about this for just 1 year, I would look at it as I would get them to at least agree to, hey, why don't we just pilot this for a month? basically what you said, I'm repeating your words, you didn't really say pilot, but you spoke about, hey, you know, let's do this for a month. So I would talk, I would just make it easy for them to agree. But most of that would happen on the call after the email. I don't know if I'm making sense.
actually you are. The reason I'm quiet is because I'm taking notes. I'm like taking frantic notes. I'm like, pilot, this is brilliant. Because then it makes it clear that this is not a long-term commitment. We can do this. And then after it's kind of like sit down, evaluate, decide whether it makes sense. Do we want to continue beyond this point or not? And also possibly looking at, yeah. So anyway, I think it's a brilliant idea. Thank you.
Awesome. Great. And of course, you're going to get a recording. So anything that may not have gone into your notes, you'll be able to pick it up later. And then okay. The last Thank thing, you. And then the last thing is really just drafting your pitch. Okay. And as we said, after that, you prepare to engage because we expect a response, you know. One thing I want to add to this, not just for us on the call, but for people who will be listening to this recording, is that when you approach people for anything, whether it's a sale or a proposal of partnership, you're not what you want. Of course, you want them to agree, but what you want at the beginning is actually a response. You know, and the response can be a yes or a no, which is why I think in the first week I spoke about no. You know, that no is one of, it's a 50% possibility, at least at the beginning of anything. There's a chance they'll say no. So we just have to allow ourselves to give people space to make the right decision that is in their best interest, because that's the only reason they'll decide. I mean, that's the only reason they'll agree or disagree. It's all about their best interest. So let's always leave room to say people have free will to do what's in their best interest. We may think this is a good idea, but they, when they evaluate what's in it for them, they may see it differently, and it's okay. So as we write this email and send it to them, all we want is just a response. And it's entirely up to them what kind of response they give us, because we have no control over what they say or what they think or what they write, because we would be infringing on their free will. You know, ours is to share with them our vision and hope that they will see it the way we see it. I'm just adding that, you know, because I know people will be listening to this recording. It's really just a reminder, even as we go through the program, when that's not what this is. It's not about getting all the companies to agree to everything we say we want, because some companies will not agree, and that's fine. And that's totally okay, you know. And in most cases, we just want one partner to agree, even though we approach 3, 4, or 10, you know. If we get one, we will still get what we want. So I'm just saying people must always keep that in mind. So from here, okay, let me then sum up my take on this. Over and above everything we've just gone through, which has kind of helped us to put some notes together, I think where we are now, based on the email that you sent me, sorry, because you said on the email, you positioned your email as an ask, basically, hey guys, please help us type thing, as if we are the ones who need their help. For me, what are the positives on that? Because I want to start with that. The first positive is that you sent the email. You know, whenever I approach somebody, I always write down a list of strategic objectives that I have for that approach. And even when I go to a meeting, I always ask myself, I'm going there maybe to negotiate a deal or to sell some of our products and services or whatever the case. But I always say, what are my other strategic objectives? And one of my objectives is meeting somebody I've never met, you know, because sometimes you will meet someone you've never met. Two is getting to be known by somebody who woke up this morning and they didn't know I exist, and what I'm about. So all those things, sometimes I would have 15 strategic objectives, just in case somebody's wondering how many do I need, to two or three. It doesn't matter. Just have more than one, at least. Have more objectives than the fact that I want them to agree to my proposition, you know. So in the case of your email, I like the fact that the email was sent, which means it landed in somebody's inbox, hopefully everybody, or maybe trapped in somebody's spam folder. But assuming that it, you know, people received it and they read it, now they know. Even those who, in this case, I think they already knew you, and obviously from the Georgetown side, the person may not know you personally, but the fact that you're an alumni, that obviously counts a lot. So for me, that's an important strategic objective. And another thing is that they know that there's a proposal on the table. You know, there's a proposal on the table. The ball, you've kind of hit the ball on their side of the court, and the natural human thing to do, not that people do this, most people just ignore emails, but the natural human thing to do is to acknowledge receipt and maybe even respond. So those, for me, I always see those things as positive strategic objectives. There's a process underway. That's what we do now. You initiated a process, and that process is underway. So now what will be the next step? We haven't heard from them. So what do we do? What any normal human being does, which is to follow up, right? So the next point of contact from you, if you're gonna reach out to them before they call you back, I understand that even tomorrow you'll be talking to one of these people. So it's a follow-up, whatever it will be. Let's just call it follow-up. And then the focus of the follow-up I would go back to the context. You know, as much as you've already sent the email, and I wish we had the email you sent, by the way. I think that could have. You see, I didn't want to ask
after this conversation, said email will be redrafted. I am so grateful that it only went to one email address, because I'm like, okay, this gives me time to redeem myself and do this whole thing all over again.
You're being too hard on yourself. Remember,
possibly, but it could have been better. It could have been better. This is about putting your best foot forward, and my foot was not the best foot that I put forward. So yeah,
You know what I do when I feel like that? I remember these words. I don't know who said this. I don't know if it was Jeff Bezos but it was one of these top guys. He said, if when you look back to the first product you shipped, you are not embarrassed, it means you waited too late to launch. Oh, wow. So the same applies to email and reaching out. If when you look at the first email you send out to somebody, you know, reaching out to propose something, and you look back late down the line and you're not embarrassed, it means you waited too long. You know, so the fact that you feel that way, it means you're the kind of person who takes action. You get things going. You take what I call imperfect action. So it's actually a good thing. But I'm glad you feel that you've kind of formulating an idea of how to redraft, because that's really why we're doing this session. So that's the thing. That would be the follow-up email. And what I would put in this email, like I said, since I don't know what you put in the first one, I would really make the context very clear, because everything you said to me about this was so clear. Even the email you sent me that triggered this session was so clear. You were unambiguous. It's a no-brainer, whichever way I look at it. If let's say I was, you know, at a university, which I'm not, and I received an email with these points that you've advanced during this call and even in the email you sent me, I'd be like, gee, this is really interesting. I wanna talk some more with this person. He has something different that I've never seen. But I'm talking now from their perspective, because nobody from Africa probably has emailed them about something like this. So it'll be a new thing, but it'll be so interesting. So I think context is important in your next conversation. Why are you doing this? Because when people feel that you come from a place where you've got their best interests at heart, you know, you are in their world. I think that's one last point I want to make before we make this recording overly long, and we don't want to do that. So one last point is this: as you communicate with people, always go into their world, because that way you can never bore people. You can never, and I'm using the word bore kind of loosely, you know, because most emails are not really boring. They're just bland and uninteresting. But when you talk about things, when you go into their world, which means you talk about things that are about their own interests, you kind of keep people's attention. Almost the same way people who talk about just themselves, let's say you go on a date and the person is all about how great they are, what they achieve, it kind of gets old very quickly. Like, gee, this guy, you know. But if they are interested in you, you know, in things that are about yourself, you never get bored talking about, you know, about things that are about you, because those things are special and very close to you. It's the same thing with people we reach out to. So it's always important to ask ourselves, where am I? Am I too much in my world, which is, this is what I would like you to do for me? Or did I go enough in their world to talk about things that are of, that may be of interest to them? And I think the context here, really the source of all of this, where this started, it was around COVID and what COVID has done and which kind of prejudiced their students. And as somebody who's from that world, you know what that could be like for students who don't get the opportunity to do their internships. And you are bringing this exciting new opportunity, you know, which could be very mind expanding for those students. I don't know if that helps you take the next step.
It does a great deal. I'm really grateful. Thank you so much, Sia.
And I think from here, okay, sorry, Zibu.
No, I was just saying I'll work on the email again, and I'll share it with you, as well as send it to the other institutions.
Cool
stuff. Thank you. No, this is very helpful.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. All right. Oh, wait. We said we were going to talk about the other email. Do you feel we've covered it as well?
Yeah, I think so.
Cool stuff.
You're very, very, I think very comprehensively, actually. So thank you.
All righty then. I guess we can end this conversation right here and go on awesome. With our Friday afternoon.
Thank you very much. Enjoy your Friday afternoon and the weekend too.
Yeah, have a great one. And it's a Father's Day weekend for me. So yeah, looking forward to Sunday. Okay. Yeah. All righty.
Yeah. Okay.
Did I miss something? Did I miss something, Zibu? I think I may have missed something you might have said.
If you missed it, then it's on your end, and I trust that you will share it with us next week, because for me, everything I do.
Oh, okay. No, I think it's just the network then. I think it's just the line is starting to fail us right at the end, which is fine. Alrighty, have a good one. We will come to space. I'm still going to send an email about Monday. So on Monday, we will be live. I'll send those details. Thank you very much. Alrighty. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.